Evening, everyone. The topic for tonight's cheer is going to be. I'll just share my screen already. Let me set it up. Is whether you can put something in the oven 5 minutes before Shabbat ends. So what do I mean by that is the following, right? Let's say for whatever reason, right? I want to cook something right before Shabbat, right after Motzei Shabbos, right? I really want a pizza. Right after Shabbos. I need to have it like right after Shabbos ends. I need to eat something. I need to have that fresh pizza. Can I put the pie of pizza into the oven before Shabbos ends, knowing that it's only going to finish cooking when Shabbos actually ends, but the process will have been quickened because it'll have started in the oven right before Shabbos begins. Right before Shabbos had officially ended, it already had begun that process, so it'll be ready a little bit quicker. Right? Am I over any Isurim for doing so? So there are two potential problems with this, with putting, you know, food in the oven or beginning the baking process before Shabbos ends. One is cooking, and that's what we're going to be spending a lot of tonight talking about. But the other one I'll just mention is hachana issues. So even if in theory you were to argue that there was no problem of actual cooking, you're probably going to have a problem of hachana. But I'm not really talking about hachana. I think in the past year I've talked about hachana, but hachana is only a derabanan at the very most. It's only a rabbinic prohibition. And even though rabbinic prohibitions are, you know, very serious, we take them very seriously, which means that no matter what my answer is, it's going to be prohibited to actually put your pizza in the oven before Shabbos ends. Nonetheless, there are certain exigent circumstances in which hachana, because it's only rabbinic, are going to be, it's going to be able to be bypassed. So for instance, if someone's sick, potentially a cholesh yesh bo sakana, or maybe if you have a mirah la'akum issues, if you're telling a non-Jew, a local Gentile, to put something in the oven for you, maybe b'shat sorech, that's going to be mutter. So there is going to be some cases where it's going to make a big difference to us what exactly the problem of putting something in the oven before Shabbos ends is. If the problem is only one of hachana, then there might be certain circumstances for when you would be able to do so, such as the case of a chola, a sick person, or if you were to ask a non-Jew to do it for you. If, though, there's an issue of an Isser Doraita, a Torah-level prohibition of baking or cooking on Shabbat, then you're never going to be able to put something in the oven before Shabbat ends. Okay, so I want to just frame that is the intro of the question that we want to ask today. I know it's a little bit of a funny question. I mean, how many people think about like putting something practically since we're not used to it? But in theory, it is a real question. How do we understand the prohibition of baking? And really, what this question really gets at its core is it's not just about baking or cooking per se. What it really is a question of how we define melacha on Shabbat in general. Right? Do we talk about the beginning of the melacha mattering or its completion mattering? For instance, most malachot on Shabbat, of like the 39, most of them are pretty instantaneous. So, right, kotev, if I want to write something down, right, you're not going to be able to differentiate between the beginning of the writing process and the end of the writing process. They're kind of one and the same. It takes two letters. We're talking about milliseconds. We're talking about seconds here between writing the first, beginning, starting the right letter and ending the second letter. It's not a big difference. But some malachot, there could be considerable amount of time between when you start the action and when you end the action. So baking or cooking is a great example. It could take you 5 hours, to it might take even longer. I mean, I know I've heard in Plainview, you guys are, a lot of you guys are expert barbecuers or roasters. I've heard a bunch of talk about the different competitions you have in Plainview about cooking and baking and barbecuing. So, you know, it takes potentially a long time to cook something really well. So the question is, particularly with certain things like baking or cooking or other malacha we'll talk about as they go on, when we define the Isser malacha, when is the prohibition happening? And this question is particularly acute with malachot like cooking, as well as other malachot, where the primary action that the person is involved with is only in the beginning. Let me take cooking as a good example, right? I'm not a particularly great cook. I'm not a great baker. I'm the first to admit it. I'm not someone who particularly enjoys the process of cooking or baking. For me, if I ever do have to cook, which fortunately, because my wife is such a great person, she always ends up doing most of the cooking. But if I ever end up having to do something, I kind of want to just to do as little as possible. I want most of the work done be done for me. So I, for instance, I'll tell you, we bought for our wedding, we had a wedding registry gift, we got a bread machine. And so what do we do with the bread machine? So for those of you who are lazy like me and like bread but don't want to have the process of making bread, what do I do? There are some ingredients you put in. So you set up the ingredients. It takes maybe 5 minutes to put the ingredients. You put everything into the bread machine. You press go, and you leave. And you leave, and 5 hours later or 3 hours later, depending on what exactly you're making, the bread is ready for you. Now, what did I do? Can I do that on Shabbos? So all I did was the very beginning of the process. I just pressed go, and I effectively, you can say I turned on the oven, the equivalent of turning on the oven and putting something into the oven. I didn't do anything else. I didn't sit there kneading the dough. I didn't sit there watching there. I went to sleep probably. Like I just let it, rise and wake up the next morning and the bread is made. So in the context of the question I want to deal with specifically is considering in my example where I only did something in the very beginning, right? Most baking, you only do something in the beginning. You're not there continuously throughout the process, right? Are you defining the Isser Malacha based primarily only on the beginning of the Malacha or also on the end? And the big nafgamina, the big question, the test case for this question is going to be our issue precisely about putting something in the oven before Shabbos ends. Because if you think that you're going to define the Isser Malacha, the prohibition is going to be had only in the beginning of the Malacha, so then you're going to think that it's going to be just as problematic for me to put something in the oven before when at the very end of Shabbos, because the beginning is what matters, and and I put something in the oven before Shabbos ended. But if you think what really matters is not the beginning of the malacha, but actually the end or the completion, so then most of the baking, most of the cooking process is going to happen after Shabbos already ends, in which case it's going to be permitted. So we're going to get back to this. We're going to talk about this case again a little bit later as we get through some of the details. But I want to use this as kind of a test case to really explore the definition of when a malacha is transgressed. When are you over a malacha? At the beginning, when you first do the action, or at the completion of the malacha, when in the case of cooking, the bread or the food is finished and prepared, ready to be eaten. So what are the sources that are relevant to this discussion? So the Gemara in the very beginning, source number one, you look at the source sheet. The Gemara in beginning of in first paragraph of Shabbat presents a number of machloksim between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as to what you're permitted to do Erev Shabbat, right before Shabbat begins. We're told source number one is the Mishnah at the end of the first paragraph. Beit Shammai Ein Shorin Diyov Simanim V'Kashinin Ela Kadesh Yishur Mibod Yom U'Beit Hillel Matirin. Beit Shammai says you cannot soak dyes and other forms of dye material, right? So ways to make dyes back in the day is they used to, soak and cook certain plants, and they made like a dye solution. So you can only do that, Beit Shammai says, if you're doing that on Erev Shabbat, such that the process finishes on Friday. Beit Hillel, though, permits it even if the process is only going to end after Shabbos already begins. Right, so you can set up the process such that it begins on Friday, but it ends even on Shabbat. Example two, same type of machloket. Beit Shammai Amrim ein onin onin shel pishtan l'toch ha'tanur, ela kedei sheyavhilu mibod yom, v'lo atzeh tzemel yoreh, ela kedei sheyiklot ha'ayin, u'Beit Hillel matirin. Beit Shammai says you're only allowed to put flax, which has to be dried in the oven. That's how you make. You have to first dry the flax in order to get the useful material out of the flax to make, to make linen. So you can only put it in the oven if it's going to finish the process of drying the flax on Friday. But you cannot do so if the process is going to continue on to Shabbos morning. And Beit Hillel says, no, you can do it even if the process continues on into Shabbos. Likewise, the third case, Beit Shammai Amrim ein porsin misudat chayav ve'ofot v'dagim ela kedei shitun v'od yom, v'Beit Hillel matirin. Beit Shammai says, you cannot set up traps to catch fish or other animals, unless those traps are going to catch the fish on Friday. But if there's a possibility that they will only catch, the fish or the birds or other wild game on Shabbos, then it's prohibited. But Beit Hillel is matir, they permit. So what is the machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? The Gemara explains as follows, source number two. Vashem Rabbi Oshia, Amar Rav Asi, Man Tana Shvitat Kilim Doraita, Beit Hil Shammai, Velo Beit Hillel, Le Beit Shammai Ben De Kavin Maseh, Ben De Lo Kavin Maseh, Author, Beit Hillel Afagav De Kavin Maseh, Shari. There's a number of ways of explaining the machloket. One way at this stage of the Gemara, and this is the main predominant way that machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel is explained, is both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are in agreement that there is no problem for me to start a malacha on Friday that will naturally complete on Shabbat. When I define a malacha, I'm defining it based on its beginning, based on when you start the malacha, and the start of the malacha is going to be on Friday. The problem, though, is that for Beit Shammai, they're not worried only about when you, as a personal individual, is doing malacha. They're worried also about what's called shvitat kelim. They're worried about when your objects, when your property is also doing malacha. So in their minds, when I set up my traps to fish to trap fish on Friday, while it's true that I have finished doing, you know, my work on Friday, the traps are still working as long as they're open to catch fish. And if they end up catching fish on Shabbat, then my traps, you know, my kelim, the nets and whatever other materials I'm using to catch the fish, those are working on my behalf on Shabbat. And in Beit Shammai's view, that is considered to be usur because we're mechuyav, according to Beit Shammai, not only for us to rest, but also for our utensils to rest. We're mechuyav, what's called shvitat kelim, that our utensils rest. Beit Hillel disagrees. They think, no, there is no obligation for your utensils to rest. You have to rest. The people in your household have to rest, your servants, your children, your animals have to rest, but your kelim, your objects, utensils do not need to rest, and therefore there is no problem. What emerges from this Gemara, for our purposes, is that both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that when we define when a malacha begins, when vis-a-vis the individual himself performing the malacha, do we define a malacha? We define it as the beginning. That's when it matters. And that's why, for Beit Hillel, there's no problem for me setting up traps on Friday. Because, you know, what do? I put my trap, I set up my traps on Friday, and then I leave, and I come back at the end of the weekend. And lo and behold, fish were caught. So according to Beit Hillel, I did all my work on Friday, and the fact that something happened over Shabbat doesn't matter. Because the defining moment for when I am considered to have done the malacha of tzad, of fishing, of trapping animals, is considered to be on Friday, when I started the malacha, and not when the malacha was actually completed, because the completion doesn't matter, only the beginning of the malacha matters. That's what emerges from this Gemara, and this machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that beginning matters and not the end. However, challenging this notion is the Gemara in Shabbat Daf Dalet, where the Gemara suggests the following. Rav Acha Brei de Rava Matni La Behedia, source number 3. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, they quoted Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, Hidbik Pat Bitanur, Hitiru Lo Yerdota, Kodim Shiavo Lidei Yisur Skila. If someone put bread into an oven and then realized on Shabbat, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be over on Isser of Shabbat, I'm going to be baking on Shabbat, I forgot it was Shabbat, and I'm going to be over on the Isser of baking. So what do? They tell you, you should take out the bread from the oven, because the Isser of Bishul only happens when the bread has what's called Nikram Mapat, the bread has to turn a little crusty, part of the bread has to turn a little brown. Only then is the Isser Skila going to happen, and therefore they recommend that you should interrupt the process of baking in the middle, should take out the dough which is rising, or the raw dough, interrupt the process of baking before it has time to complete the process, and you're over an Isser of Skila, over an Isser and Chai of Skila. What emerges then from this Gemara is that with respect to baking, and presumably this is not limited to baking, but is inclusive of all malachot, but we'll talk about that a little later, we define the Isser malacha when have you transgressed an Isser. It's not only going to be bishat hatchalat malacha, at the time you started the malacha, it's going to be even, it's going to be defined based on when the malacha ends, when you actually complete the malacha and the food is fully baked. So the question then becomes, which is it? Do we care about the beginning of the malacha or we care about the end of the malacha? So I point to, if you want, source 4, the Aruch HaShulchan makes this question pretty explicit. He asks as follows, V'yesh bazeh she'ela, k'evan de'in holchim el ha'achar ha'tchalat ha'malacha, since we go after the beginning of the malacha, right, as proven from the machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, that if you begin a malacha on Erev Shabbat, you are not chayav, so we see we care about the beginning of malacha. If so, lama li'inyan chiyuv skila, holchin achar ha'gmar, k'gon ha'notein isa betanur b'shabbat, or noting k'deiram tavshila tanur b'shabbat, v'im haye notlan miyad miyad tanur, halo lo asa klum. Right, we see from this mar we just quoted, source daf dalid, that as you take out the food before it has risen, before the malacha has been completed, then you have not over anything. You didn't actually transgress anything. Ukshinichan shenafev nifashel chaya. But if you did leave it to remain there, right, you left your bread, you left your food to fully cook, then you would have been chayav. V'harei lo asarakat chalav lo anikmar. And you only did something in the beginning. Like, you didn't actually touch the bread after it's already been in the oven. Why should it make a difference? How do we explain this stira, this contradiction between, on the one hand, the principle which suggests that you're not obligated for transgressing an isser if you started it on Erev Shabbat, and yet, if you take out something from the oven before it has completed on Shabbat, then you have not been over an isser of skila. How do we resolve that contradiction? So there are two main ways. There are a bunch of subtleties, but we're going to focus on two primary methods that the Achronim present. This is really a very much an Achronish type question. It's really not a question that Rishonim primarily deal with. This is the type of question that Achronim really enjoy, like when things start. But we'll see it's like a really interesting topic as it develops. But so the Achronim have two main ways of explaining this din. One way, the Aruch HaShulchan himself suggests, and that is as follows. Amnam ha'inyan kenu. Devadai shidinan ha'gmar achar ha'tchala u'kshatchala ita b'shabbat shidinan ha'gmar achar ha'tchala kilu asla gam ha'gmar b'yadav. In his view, we care about the beginning. The beginning is when the malacha is considered to have happened, is considered to when you interact with the malacha and you are over the isser. Why then do we care about the end of the malacha? Because in his view, right, you need the process of malacha to have actually completed, to have finished the isser. But you only interact with the isser, with the malacha in the beginning. Just that your beginning action is considered to have also included within it the gemar. So let me say this a little more practically. When I you know, put my bread into my bread, my dough, or really it's like raw ingredients into my bread machine, it's true that for me, I am going to just press on, and I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm not going to touch anything afterwards. And yet, the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's considered at that very moment that I press go, as if I was over B'Shabbat, as if I did the full cooking process, everything that was included, I watched over, I did the full 3 hours of baking my bread, within that one press of the on button. All of that future action that's going to be completed, it's considered as if I did it, I did it right now at this precise moment. If somehow the process gets interrupted in the middle, then of course retroactively, limafreya, it's as if it never actually happened, and we redefine my pressing on as if it didn't actually perform as a malacha. But assuming that my kavana, what I want to happen, does end up happening, that the bread actually is baked as it was supposed to, then it's considered that at the time that I pressed on, that I turned on the bread machine, it's as if that precise moment at, 11 o'clock at night, I completed the entire process of baking the bread. And that's why you are not chayav for starting malacha on Erev Shabbat, because we care about the beginning. And it's why if you interrupt the process in the middle, it's not considered to be a malacha, because if you interrupted the process in the middle, lemafreya, retroactively, we consider that the action did not actually get completed. And when I pressed on my bread machine, I actually was never going to complete the malacha, and it never was actually transgressed. That's the Aruch HaShulchan theory. And it's perhaps best expressed in this really interesting Nimuki Yosef in Bava Kama, where the Nimuki Yosef, source 5, says as follows. He asks the following question. ויקר שלך, אם כן, היכי שרינן עם חשיכה להדליק את הנרות ולהדלקת הולכת ונגמרת בשבת, ולפי זה הרי כאילו הבהיר הוא בעצם בשבת. If you believed that you are responsible for a malacha, not only when you started the malacha, but really as long as the malacha continued going, it's as if it was considered and attributed to you, right? So when I lit a flame, then I am responsible for the flame's existence, not only when I first lit it, but also all future, as long as the flame is still lit, as long as there still is a fire continuing from that original flame, from that original fire, then I am responsible and attributed to my actions. So then how can you light Nerot Shabbat? How can you light candles on before Erev Shabbat? Because as long as those candles are lit, I should be chayav for malacha. I should be chayav because as long as they're on my Shabbos table, it's as if I lit them right now at this precise moment. So his answer is that no. Instead, you don't look at the entirety of the malacha. Instead, you only look at bishat asiyat malacha. You only care about the moment that you lit the candles at the moment that the malacha began. And he explains based on the following mashal failing pulling parable, he compares it to chetzio kizorik achetz, someone who throws an arrow. Right. So if I shoot an arrow, right, I have no control of the arrow after it's already been shot. Right, I shoot my arrow, I send the arrow away. I no longer have any control over it. Of course, the arrow's actions, everything it does, you know, after it's been sent from my bow, is attributed to me. But I'm only responsible for what happens when I actually sent the arrow out. And he said that's exactly what happens on Shabbat. I am only considered responsible for the moment that something is lit, for the moment that I threw out the arrow. That's when my maisa happened. That's when it's considered that I did it. Everything afterwards, it might be considered to have emerged from me, but at that point, that's not considered to be me anymore. That's considered to be like the continuation of the action. It's no longer attributed to me in the same way. My action is limited to the very beginning when it started. Right, Shabbat Adchil, Me'erev Shabbat Adchil. If I did something on Erev Shabbat, that moment when I did it on Erev Shabbat, that's what matters. That's when I did it. So to summarize then, one position, one perspective on explaining when malacha is performed is it's performed in the very beginning. It's considered to have done everything of the whole malacha in the beginning of the process. That's one suggestion. The second suggestion, though, emerges from the Minchat Chinuch. Where the Minchat Chinuch states as follows, I'm just going to skip to the end. He thinks as follows: Haklal dechayav al asiyah v'lamlacha ke'achat im nasib b'shabbat, aval be'achad hem eno chayav b'shabbat v'zet pashut. The rule, he says, is we care about both. We don't care only about the beginning. We don't care only about the completion, the end of the malacha. We care about both. Both the beginning of the malacha, when you started it, and the completion has to be done, in his mind, on Shabbat themselves. So, in his mind, you need to have both started cooking on Shabbat, and you have to complete the process of cooking on Shabbat. You have to both start trapping animals on Shabbat, and you have to actually trapped the animals on Shabbat. Both things have to be done on Shabbat themselves, and if they are not both done on Shabbat, then it's not considered to be an asiyah. It's not, the pasuk says, multiple times, when it talks about the Isser Malacha, the prohibition of doing Malacha on Shabbat, is Lo Ta'aseh Malacha, do not do Malacha. And they learn out that it specifically has to be done in Asiyah, some type of actual action. Action defined as you being responsible for doing something on Shabbat, both the beginning of the Malacha as well as the completion of the Malacha. Another way this is worded, that Shvitah Shabbat quotes a late Achron, he words this as, it's similar to what he calls Mela Muvan Duhadin Dibinat Shtei Tchilatan Vesofan Bechiyuv. You need both, in his language, the beginning of the Malacha and the end of the Malacha, its completion, to be Bechiyuv, has to be done while you are obligated on Shabbat. So we have then two different theories that account for why you are Chayev, when you are Chayev for Malacha. Are you Chayev for Malacha strictly from the beginning? And all future actions are attributed to you as if they occurred in the very beginning, right? That's the Aruch HaShulchan theory. Or, no, we care about both the beginning and the end of Malacha. Both have to be done on Shabbat. What emerges then is with regard to our original question about putting something in the oven before Shabbat ends, that's only going to finish cooking after Shabbat, is a clear nafka mina between these two cases. According to the Minchat Chinuch, we just saw, the same Minchat Chinuch, because in his mind, this is theory number two, you require to be chayav on Shabbat both the beginning of the malacha and the end of the malacha to have been transgressed on Shabbat, both beginning and the end. Therefore, if you place something in the oven before Shabbat ends and it only finishes cooking after Shabbat already ends, so then the end of it, the completion, will not be done on Shabbat, and therefore you'd be patur. There is no prohibition for the Minchat Chinuch to put something in the oven before Shabbat ends, assuming it'll only finish after Shabbat ends, because you need, as definitional, to be over Isser of on Shabbat, you need to do both the beginning and the end on Shabbat itself. If part of it only ends after Shabbat, or part of it begins before Shabbat, in either of those cases, you are going to be patur. If, on the other hand, though, you hold like the first theory, that we attribute all future actions, everything that was done, to the very first moment that you did something, so then you're going to be chayav in the case where you put something in the oven before Shabbat ends. Because even though it's true that the cooking process only going to end after Shabbat is over, nonetheless, because you began it, and that's what matters, all we care about is the beginning, since you began the cooking on Shabbat, you're going to be chayav for Bishul. So we see that a clear nafka mina, a clear distinction between, a clear test case between these two positions. Do we consider malacha to be only attributed from the beginning, or do we consider malacha to be attributed both what matters is the beginning and the end of the malacha? In essence, if it hasn't been clear yet, I'll restate it for clarity. Both positions are dealing with the same problem. How do we relate to the fact that when I am turning on my bread machine, I am only interacting with the food, with the process of doing malacha at the very beginning? I do nothing during the rest of the process. How do you deal with that? So according to one theory, the theory of the Aruch HaShulchan, the theory of the Rosh Hashanah, we consider that the whole process is to have been done by me when I press the on button. According to the other theory, the Minchat Chinuch theory, no. I am considered to have started the process when I press the on button, and it's true that I have left the room, but I am considered to be responsible and actively engaged with the rest of the process as it goes on. Right? For the rest of the night, as the bread machine is working and you know, churning all night long, I am considered to be there with it, actively engaged, even though in practice I'm not, but it's considered to be as if I am actively engaged throughout the process in real time. Okay, so that's one clear nafka mina between these two cases. I want to now suggest a few more that emerge. One interesting discussion that comes out is with regard to the Isser of Zoreya, planting. And for the following reason. If you believe, like the Rosh Hashanah, like the Aruch HaShulchan, that what matters is only the beginning of the process of the malacha, so then planting is no different from baking. They're the exact same malacha, baking, planting, fishing, trapping, writing, they're all the same. We all care about the beginning. There should be no difference in any of the malachot. All the rules are the same. However, if what you care about, if you believe like the Minchat Chinuch, that you care about both the beginning of the process and the end of the process of the malacha happening on Shabbat, so then with planting, you reach a very big problem. Because as he says, when is the end of the process of planting? When is completion of the process of planting? It's only when the seed germinates, right? Nishrash bekarka. That's only then, at that moment, you're chaya. Ve'ein chayav al asiyato rak im nishrash achar kach, kmo ofe. If that's all true, so then you have a big problem because, ach ze'eno, de'im nomar de'ikar zriya hainu ve'ashrasha, im kein im zara b'shabat v'nishrash achar kach b'chol, lo yechayav kmo ofe. And the problem is, ha'kamin alev rosh shana u'pepsachim plukta chadamar l'kita tarecha lamed yom v'chadamar yudalad yom. There is a machloket, how long does it take for a seed to germinate? Does it take 30 days? Does it take 3 days? 14 days? There's a big machloket. But everyone agrees that it takes at least a few days for a seed to germinate. for the malacha then of the ray to complete. So, if following the Minchat Chinuch's own argument, if a malacha is considered, you're only chaya for a malacha on Shabbat, if you do both the beginning of the malacha, you place the seed in the ground, and the end of the malacha, when it germinates, only if both those things happen on Shabbat, like he argued by baking, by ofe, so then how are you ever chayav a malacha for Zoreya? Since no matter what, when it comes to planting, at least one half, either the planting, either the putting the seed in the ground, or the germination of the seed, is only going to happen after Shabbat ends. One of them cannot, it's impossible for both of them to be on Shabbat. So how are you ever chayav for the malacha of Zoreya? So the Minchat Chinuch suggests, in fact, actually, Zoreya is different. Zoreya is not like Ofe, it is an exception to all the other malachot. And by Zoreya specifically, we care about the precise moment you put the seed in the ground. At that moment, you are chayav for Zoreya, for planting, and it doesn't matter whether it germinates or doesn't germinate. At that precise moment, you are chayav. Okay, so Zoreya is an exception for the Minchat Chinuch. Why Zoreya would be different, we don't really have time to get into. I'll just say one theory, which is a pretty common theory, is that that you can see in Halachat Ketana to the Rishon Rav Yaakov Chagiz, suggests that Zoreya, the process of planting, is one in which you are engaged primarily only in the very beginning, right? It's kind of the best example of the bread machine, in the sense that you literally do nothing other than put your seed in the ground, and then you pray to heaven that it rains, at least in medieval times. Nowadays, I don't know how true this is nowadays, which is why this year I'm not sure how much I like it, but this is the main theory. When I put something in the ground, that's my planting action, only the beginning, and everything else, I kind of pray to God, I hope it germinates. When it comes to preparing food, though, I am engaged the whole process, right? I might be a bad baker, but ideally I should be, you know, watching and looking at the bread, making sure it bakes well. And if I'm cooking something, you know, keep looking inside the oven, seeing if it cooks well. You're actually engaged throughout the process. We're going to care about the end and the beginning for baking. While for first planting, we're only going to care about the beginning. That's the theory for the Minchat Chinuch, that planting is going to be an exception to the general rule. Which leads them to some interesting nafka minot for when it comes specifically to planting. Because if planting is specifically an exception for the Minchat Chinuch, so then he's going to focus more on the precise action of planting than for, let's say, the Rashash or the Aruch HaShulchan theory. He's going to care about that precise moment where you put the seed in the ground, even if you decide later on, you know, actually, I want to take the seed out. So I'll give you a great example where this comes up all the time, as a potential real nafka mina. I am having a picnic on Shabbat in the park, and I am eating watermelons. And even though there's a bunch of tshuva that say it's not great to eat, you know, have a picnic in the park, potentially if you're going to spill water, it's not great to do so, potentially throwing derbana involved, it's not great. Nonetheless, I did eat, I had a covering, and I found out that, you know, accidentally I spit out one of my watermelon seeds, and the seed fell onto the ground, where, you know, it could in theory grow if it lasted there for a while. Should I pick it up or not? Does it help me in terms of Zoreya? So the Minchat Chinuch thinks that no, it's too late. Once the seed touches the ground, once it's become viable to germinate, even if you remove it right away, it's too late. You missed your chance. You are chayav in Zoreya. The very moment that the seed is in the ground, it's too late. The Rashash, though, thinks no. What is his theory before? The theory that he presented, the Aruch HaShulchan agreed with, is that we care about the beginning of the malacha, true, but just as with baking, we care about that it actually has to reach its completion. We may retroactively attribute all future actions to the precise moment where you started the process. You might attribute, you know, the completion of the baking to when I press the on button, but we still do care about the fact that it is completed. And so if I take out the watermelon seed before it has had a chance to germinate, then I did save myself. I did prevent an Isser Doraita of Zoreya, or an Isser or Dorban potentially of Zoreya in this case. So one nafka mina then to how much of an exception planting is going to be is that for Minchat Chinuch, he's going to believe that the precise moment you put something down You're gonna be chayav right away. And Rosh Hashanah thinks, no, it's like everything else, just like baking, where you can save yourself if you take it off quick enough, before it had a chance to germinate. We're gonna skip this one. We're gonna skip a little bit because we're running out of time. And I wanna, did I not bring this up? Okay, yeah, let's do this. Okay, there's an interesting question. So that's with regard to an interesting question for the Minchat Chinuch position. And then the Minchat Chinuch position, the position that believes that both the beginning and the end of the process of making malacha is going to matter, both, for the Minchat Chinuch, he's going to have to concede that the malacha of Zareya, that the action of planting, is an exception to the general rule. That's for the Minchat Chinuch. What about for the Rosh Hashanah? Are there any exceptions, any cases where you're going to have a little more trouble explaining? So I'll give you one example, which is an interesting example to think about, where the Rosh Hashanah is going to have a harder time explaining, and that is the case of lighting Nerot Chanukah. What do I mean? Every year, at least once, and was it this year? No, it wasn't this year. But some years, even twice, Chanukah falls out on Shabbos. The question is, right, what do I do? So I light Hanukkah candles on Friday afternoon, right? Maybe I even davened mincha already, but nonetheless, I definitely didn't accept Shabbat yet, because if I accepted Shabbat, I couldn't have lit my candles. So I have not accepted Shabbat yet, so it's still officially Friday, right? It's still officially, the 24th of Kislev. And I'm lighting my candles. And then, on Shabbos, that's when I'm supposed to have lit my candle, my Ner Hanukkah, the 25th of Kislev. How was I yotzei the chiyuv? How did I fulfill the chiyuv of Hanukkah if my lighting of the Hanukkah candles must, by definition, perforce on Erev Shabbat, had to have been before Shabbos began, before the day of Hanukkah started? Right? How does that work for the Rosh Hashanah-type theory? Right? This is quoted in Har Tzvi, in the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, as a tshuva where he mentions, this might be a type of what's called tarzi de satri. It's a contradiction in terms. Either Shabbat has already begun, in which case it is the first day of Hanukkah, but then you are over an isser of lighting candles, of mavir, or Shabbos has not started, in which case it's not yet Hanukkah, and then when did you fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles on Hanukkah? Right? This is a question specifically for the Rosh Hashanah type theory, because according to the Minchat Chinuch type theory, the argument is no. Yes, we care about the beginning, but we also care about the end. So yes, it's true that the beginning might have been before Shabbos, but the ending was going to determine more, and you're going to have more force at the end when it comes to Hanukkah candles. But for a theory like the Rosh Hashanah, where everything you do is attributed only to the beginning of your Maisa, beginning of your action, so then your lighting of the candles happened on Friday, not on Shabbat. So how do you resolve that case? So the solution, there are multiple ways to go at this, but probably the most typical solution to explaining the Hanukkah candles is to suggest that it's true that you only lit on Friday. And when it comes to your actions, it was performed on Friday. But when it comes to Hanukkah candles, the kiyum of Hanukkah is not to light actively Hanukkah candles, but to have Hanukkah candles lit. What matters is that there exists Hanukkah candles in the world that you have lit in your home, that are currently lit when the night is. Even though it's true that on your personal action you lit these Hanukkah candles on Friday, because these Hanukkah candles are still remaining lit, they have lasted 30 minutes past Shkia, so that's when you are Yotzei the Chiyuv, because it doesn't matter that the action, that the Maisa of lighting the candles attributed to you, or that happens on Shabbat. What matters is that the candles are functionally lit, and since they are functionally lit, that's going to be Yotzei the Chiyuv. That's one of the moves, so to speak, that someone's going to have to make when it comes to Ner Hanukkah to explain a Rosh Hashanah type theory when it comes to Ner Hanukkah. And there's a few similar type questions. This isn't the only type of case where these type of issues come up. This is the type of question that needs to be dealt with when you think in these terms. If you think, right, as I said, that Malacha actions, or all actions, not just malachot on Shabbat, but all actions are attributed to the very start of when you did them, when you lit the candles. That's when an action is attributed. You're going to have to explain how you then are yotzei Hanukkah candles in the future. And you're going to have to make some type of move, like some intellectual argument that it doesn't matter that you actively lit them. What matters is that they are in function lit. If though you care, not like the Rashash and the Aruch HaShochan, but like the Minchat Chinuch, that what matters is that the candles are, that it matters is not only the beginning of Malacha, but also the end in real time. You care about the Malacha as it's going through, and it's attributed to you in real time as the bread machine is, you know, churning. It's attributed every moment to you. So then these issues are not going to be the same type of issues. You're going to have an issue with Sithoreya, but not an issue necessarily with Hanukkah candles or the like. Any questions so far? I know I've been going for a while. All right, so if I can, I apologize. Feel free to get off. I'd like another, I know it's a little bit past the time, but I'd like another 10 minutes because I want to bring up something which I think is really interesting. And it's just going to take like 10 minutes to do it justice. So if I do have that right, I would have to take it. If not, feel free to log off or get angry or whatever. It's okay by me. And that is the following. Okay, so we've presented until now two main positions. One position that malachot are attributed to the beginning and all future actions are attributed to the beginning, or we care about both the beginning and the completion. Both things are definitional when we're considering when you as an individual are considered to have performed an action. Those are two possibilities. There is an interesting, call it like a knockoff off the first possibility, which is brought up by the Machne Chaim. Machne Chaim is Rav Chaim Sofer, who is a Talmud, 1800s Talmud of the Chatam Sofer. No actual relationship, they're both called Sofer, but Sofer is a pretty common name in Eastern Europe. But he's a Talmud of the Chatam Sofer, and he makes the following really interesting point, and I say this is really interesting primarily because he lived in a world before electricity. This question I'm about to ask is a question that often comes up with electricity, but is actually really almost ingenious for dealing with before electricity existed. And that's the following. In his mind, he accepts a Rashash-type model. What matters is the beginning. I care about the beginning of a malacha, and I attribute all parts of the malacha, every future action, the completion of the malacha, to what I did in the beginning. I care about when I turn on the bread machine, as if I fully baked the bread. But he makes the following really interesting move. He thinks this is only true if the actual malacha started on Shabbat, on Erev Shabbat itself, or started right away. So, for instance, I turn on my bread machine, I press on right now. Right now, it's attributed to me and everything I've done. But let's say I do the following, and I can do this because I do have electricity and I have, you know, complicated enough equipment. Let's say my bread machine has what's called a timer, where I can decide to set that my bread machine will start churning, not right now, because maybe I don't want my bread to come out in 3 hours when I'm still sleeping. Maybe I want my bread to come out fresh in the morning, so I wake up and I have fresh bread. So what do? I add a few hours such that the bread machine will only start actually churning in 6 hours from now, right? I delay the start of the malacha. So in his mind, if, for instance, you delay the start of a malacha that you set up on Erev Shabbat, on Friday, I set up that my plata will turn on Shabbos morning. The plata is off right now, or my oven is off right now, but I set up on Friday that my oven will turn on Shabbat. In his mind, despite the fact that we usually care about the beginning, that's only when the beginning is actually happening on Erev Shabbat. If though the beginning of the malacha, when the oven actually turns on, is on Shabbat itself, my plata only turns on Sunday, on Shabbat, then I'm going to consider the actual, the whole malacha to have happened on Shabbat. In other words, let's make this more real. In his mind, any automatic timers that I set up such that, for instance, that my plata will turn on Shabbat instead of turning on, and the Shabbat is not on currently, or I set up a timer such that my lights will go on Shabbos morning, and they're off right now. In his mind, you are over an Isser of Shabbat. Because even though I set it up on Friday, nonetheless, it only started, the actual melacha only started on Shabbat itself. Now, I'm sure, I mean, I don't know anyone who actually paskins like him. The Shvitat Shabbat is the main, and this is true in most Achronim, tend to argue not that way, that this is considered to be grumma. This is considered to be like a, what's called like a delayed response kind of a view. Like you're setting up on Friday, it's still part of your action. And what happens on Shabbat is not attributed to you. But I think this is a really interesting extension of our principle. Because effectively what Machane Chaim is saying is that it's not just at the beginning is attributed to you, but it's only when the actual beginning of the melacha starts it's attributed to you. When, so with my bread machine, it's only when the bread machine actually starts churning, and not when I press the on button. According to our traditional position of the Rashash and the Shvita Shabbat accepts this, and we tend to be paskin this way, it's when I press the on machine. And yes, maybe the bread machine will only start churning in a few hours, maybe it'll only start churning on Shabbat, but it doesn't matter. Because what matters is when I started, when I actually did my actions, that's what's going to matter. So I'll give you a really interesting, I'll give you two really interesting cases where this potentially could come up, beyond, the Plata case, which I mentioned. And I said, this is really interesting that he is the one who talks about this because he lived in a time before electricity. So he is thinking about setting up a thing like with a timer before time of electricity. So where does this come up? So he has actually two interesting cases. The first one, still a little ingenious when you're thinking about it, is there's a common practice, I know my mother does, I mean, I don't know how many people do this, but I know my mother does this, is to put water in, when you're lighting your Shabbos candles with oil, you put water on the bottom, such that when the oil runs out, the flame naturally dissolves, and it won't ruin the glass, it won't ruin the candelabra, right, the flame will naturally dissolve. And I set up this whole system before Shabbos begins. So, following the standard definition of how we view melachot, because I set it up all before Shabbat, there's no problem. And in fact, I saw the Shulchan Aruch paskins explicitly. There is no problem of doing this. The Machane Chaim, though, argues that no. In fact, maybe there really should be a problem of doing this, because I am setting up something that even though right now I am not doing a melacha, when the melacha will start, the melacha of kiboy, of extinguishing, actually begins, it's already going to be Shabbat. The candles are going to be extinguished on Shabbat. That's when the start of the process is going to happen. And at that moment, that's when the action is going to be attributed to me. And therefore, in his mind, it potentially would be very problematic to set up this system where you're going to ensure that the candles are extinguished on Shabbat. A second interesting example that he explicitly talked about is an interesting case, which actually comes up this year, the issue of selling chametz on Shabbat Erev Pesach. Right, most years, Erev Pesach is on Tuesday, so you sell chametz, so you have a shliach, you send it to the rabbi, and the rabbi sells chametz to the local Gentile on Erev Pesach by the fourth or fifth hour of the day. The problem is, what happens when, like this year, Erev Pesach, when the prohibition of owning chametz lands on Shabbos. So I cannot make transactions on Shabbos. So what do you do? So Machane Chaim had the following question. Can you set up a system? Can you set up a shtar, like a contract, that you sell on Friday to the local Gentile, such that the contract only actually will take hold on Shabbos? Right, so I signed the contract with my local friend Christian, selling him all the chametz in my house. But this transaction will only take place in function tomorrow on Shabbos day. Does that work? Am I allowed to do this? So for most poskim, this shouldn't be a problem in theory. I mean, it's not a problem for most poskim, but the Machane Chaim thinks that in theory, at least according to this logic, that we care about not just when you set up the system, but we care about when it actually happens, when the sale actually transpires. Since the sale transpires on Shabbos, it's going to be usur. He ends up concluding, in fact, that when it comes to selling chametz on Shabbos, he thinks actually it's mutter, because it's only darbanan, and there are other ways to consider of sales. I don't want to get through it. We, at this point, I've run over time. For various reasons, sales might be a bit different, but I think it's a really interesting test case for this same principle. So, to summarize, what we've discussed tonight is the concept of how we define when malacha starts, when it ends, and when does malacha get attributed to you. Does it get attributed to you only in the beginning, and everything else that happens is all attributed to you at that precise moment that you start malacha? Or does malacha get attributed to you throughout the process, throughout in real time, it's considered to be you're actively involved in the malacha? And we talked about there's some nafka minot, potentially, some test cases might relate to whether you can bake, put something in the oven right before Shabbos ends, whether or not, how we understand the malacha of Zoreah, of planting on Shabbos, how we understand, Neret Chanukah, and, then this led us to the interesting discussion where the Machane Chaim, Rav Chaim, Sofer, extended this idea that not only do we care about the beginning of malacha, but we care about when the malacha actually started and not just when you set it up. And so in his view, any automatic timers that the action would only start on Shabbos itself are considered to be usur and prohibited. This is not normative halacha. We don't paskin this way, but it is a really interesting view considering all the options that we had considered so far. So I end with that tonight. I'm happy to take any questions. Thanks for listening.